On the show today, we have GCP Financial's Joe Brancucci talking about his credit union winning the Cuna Lending Council Award. So check it out. How's it feel to win that award?
It's a good recognition of the things that we have done as a credit union for many years, and finally kind of putting it all together and making a difference in those communities now.
Yeah, I mean, for folks out there, for those few folks out there who may not know why you guys won or how you won, what exactly did you guys win for? What category?
Our low and mod income loan and deposit programs, the things that we focus on for that particular segment of the market. This credit union is a low mod income credit union. Reality is it has been for most of its history. Yeah. It's just never really been designated as such. And we basically have focused all of our literacy programs and our lending programs around the continuum of getting folks from the lowest level of their economic strata to wherever their dreams may be. And so that's part of the kind of the push we have here.
Gotcha. And this is CDFI related too, right? Community Development Financial Institution. Is that?
Yes. We didn't go after the designation. We were still in the workout mode. But when we got the designation from the NCUA, we looked and said, okay, the designation is pretty easy for us. We have 18 of our 22 community financial centers are located in designated low mod income areas. Mm-hmm. About 70 to 80% of our membership actually fits the designation. The loans that we saw in those first two or three years that I was here were all around low mod income households. Our initiatives were around that. So why not look at leveraging it in a way that we could maybe take our own resources and use some federal government resources to expand the programs and the benefits they have. And so we went after the CDFI designation, which we received very quickly. And that first year we applied for a grant to support our automobile lending program. Mm-hmm. And the program was really focused on getting people into cars so they could go back to work. As the recession was ending, this is an area that does not have very good public transportation. And it can take many, many hours to go from Pinellas to Hillsborough or wherever it is.
Yeah.
So an automobile is a necessity. And we're not talking about a Mercedes, we're talking about good, dependable transportation.
Right.
And we had partnered with a great not-for-profit called Wheels for Success, and they work on getting used cars, rehabilitating them, and then providing them to families that need. And so we went in for a grant that was going to help us make those loans to those folks, which are slightly higher risk and a lower interest rate, so that they could have transportation to work. And that first grant was $1.375 million, and we've leveraged it into many tens of millions of dollars for automobile loans, but more importantly, we've got many, many thousands of new families to have transportation to get to work, which helps them start building themselves out of the hole that they were in.
Yeah, that's the economy. You're helping rebuild the economy, basically.
We put financial educators on the street that started to teach from elementary and high school, college, as well as in community churches and community groups, how to actually manage their finances, understand the words, understand the difference between need and want. And so all of those programs, obviously, we fund from whatever operational revenue we produce. Mm-hmm. But we also have our CU Savers activity that produces some income for us that we hire these particular educators. So we started educating the community, and we started this getting them back to work. We said, let's look at the other things in the community that could actually help build it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we know is jobs. Jobs are obviously something that if we could help generate new businesses that were successful, we might be able to help the community again have broader and deeper roots if we get into more trouble again instead of the things that occurred here.
Yeah.
So we've partnered with a number of not-for-profits, and we went in for a CDFI grant this year to support our kind of very small micro-business lending with those not-for-profits, whether it's way or the community college or the colleges or whatever it is. And we got a $1.75 million grant for that particular activity. We were already starting to do that work. This just allows us to kind of amplify it and have more of an impact.
Nice.
So for us, it's about how do you build community? How do you get folks within these communities to be able to get to jobs? How do you make sure there's job creation going on a constant basis, not dependent on the service industry or just building or whatever else? There's diversification within the economy. and how do we take our membership, which is now 242,000 strong, and help them attain their dreams and put all that stuff together.
Yeah.
And so that's really what that award was about. It didn't take into account that we are very passionate about supporting the not-for-profits in our area. And we adopt one every month. We have all of our leadership team down to the manager are affiliated with a not-for-profit and are active members of the board, not sitting on the board. Sitting on the board is interesting. That's an ego statement. Being actually working on it. We provide incentive to our employees to go out and volunteer their time and their money. We'll match their money up to $2,500 a year, but we also, when they volunteer a certain number of hours, we actually make the financial contribution through our foundation to those.
Oh my gosh.
So all of them are focused on financial literacy,
yeah,
providing means to get to be homeowners, which are the things a credit union should be doing.
Right.
And that's really what all of those programs are about. That's what the award kind of recognized.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, but for us, the reality is we're having an impact. That's really what we wanted to do.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. That's, I mean, I love talking to you because you guys are such forward thinking folks there at GTE Financial. And I think a lot of credit unions really kind of look up to you guys in that area. How long did it take you to kind of ramp up these programs and get them going? Because I'm sure there's a lot of credit unions out there looking to do the same thing.
Well, you know, from scarcity comes innovation, in my opinion.
Oh, no doubt.
This organization was very close, as everyone, no news to anyone, that was very close to extinction in 2010. And, you know, we decided we want to be very relevant again. And so we kind of brought in the fences and defined our community in a very specific way,
mm-hmm,
and said, you know, in 1935, when the credit union was founded, we were very relevant in the lives of the linemen who became the new linemen that put up telephone poles and telephone lines. There weren't any such thing at that point in time. We provided their tools, the money to finance their tools,
yeah, yeah,
to get a job, right?
Yeah.
So how do you become relevant in this sea of sameness where everything is a financial institution, a bank is a bank, even a credit union sometimes looks like a bank?
Yep.
How do you go back to 1935 and really celebrate the history of the organization,
mm-hmm,
in a way that modernizes, that changes? We do the same but different. And we're really not doing anything different than we did in 1935. We're just doing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we have become relevant in the community. I mean, our member growth is phenomenal for a credit union of this size and this age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when I got here, we were in the 170s. Today, we're in the 240s. And it's even more than that because a lot of members that left either were charged off or we had, you know, a single product member that had an automobile loan and they lived in Alabama, whatever
right.
it may be.
Right.
So we really have 135,000 probably new members that have joined in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Average age used to be 50-something. Now we're down to 40-something, but the average age of a new member is 32.
Wow.
The demographic is still low mod for the most part, but there is a better sampling that
yeah.
of folks that are also able to help support the credit union. So it's just a rebuilding process. But how do we do it? It really was about passion. And the board looking and saying, what do we want to be for the next generation
mm-hmm.
of members? Not the current generation we will deal with and we'll try to make happy, but how do we make sure we're still here?
Of 10 course.
Years, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. I mean, the reality is the millenniums they become the biggest consumer group in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They eclipse the boomers. And the boomers, you know, I'm a boomer. I'm going to be 65 next month, this month. The reality of it is that I'm in a savings and retirement mode in my head. I'm not in a buy and act, acquire, send kids to college kind of mode anymore. So the
yeah.
reality is you change what the credit union does for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I need investment services. I need retirement services. I need help dealing with investments and whatever to make sure I get the biggest return on retirement.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than the young couple who's just starting out.
Wanting a house.
Trying to figure out how to pay the house.
Yep.
How are you going to plan ahead to pay for college?
Mm-hmm.
The newborn kid, you know, where you're just making the bills each month. How do you
yeah.
do those things?
Yeah.
And helping them do the resources. And go a little further before that, you know, the family that's kind of disjointed because of the effects of the recession. Anyone who, you know, diminishes what that recession did to many families that were starting out or many families that were even established, I think we're you know, kind of coloring it in our own, you know, shades of prettiness.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't pretty, and a lot of them can't figure out how to get out of a hole, can't figure out how to rebuild, but can't figure out how to not go bankrupt because it's against who they are.
And yeah, exactly.
Helping them do that is really important to us. You know, one thing that's gone quiet in all the discussions, even on the Low Mine Income Award, is our We Can Help program. And we saved the houses of about 12 houses, the cars, and the credit, for the most part, of 12,000 members during the recession.
Really? Wow.
We also saved the membership about $40 million in charge-offs.
Good grief.
And so that's the real story, and that's the genesis of what we do today. Mm-hmm. How do we look at that, and how do you forensically take it apart and say, what happened to this group, and how do we try to avoid it in the future?
Yeah.
And so most of our programs were born out of the distress of our current membership.
Mm-hmm.
We paid attention to it. We looked at it. We felt what was going on. We had empathy for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of pulled it apart and said, what could we have done differently in their lives that may have helped avoid this? And so that's really where the passion comes. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because they represented the difference between GT Financial, healthy, innovative, leading edge today, and GTE that could have been history.
Exactly. That's a great business lesson for any business out there. I mean, you're looking at the needs of your audience and addressing them and answering them and delivering. I mean, that's the way to work it.
And we're far from being perfect, and we have plenty of our own challenges, but the reality of it is we don't do what we do because it's something we do. It's because who we are.
Right.
And we have become this credit union that has great empathy and a great focus on this segment of the market that, in my opinion, are used and abused and sometimes, you know,
forgotten sometimes, you know?
They're forgotten all the time, actually, you know, because the big banks don't want them. And I think even credit unions sometimes forget that that's really what we're made of.
That's what you,
we're not made of, you know, that we're not made of Joe and Michael, you know, that. I'm not a typical credit union member, and you're not a typical credit union member. The credit union members that made these credit unions great were the folks that were helping now.
Yep.
And they will be the Joe and Michaels if that's what they want to be.
Of course, yeah.
But give them the tools, give them the ability, give them the chance.
So true.
And, you know, to me, that's really what it's about. This year, we're going to spend a lot more time trying to expand our home loan programs. We have a credit builder program on the consumer side where somebody, you know, went bankrupt or lost all their credit, where they're, you know, we have credit builder activities going on.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are, all of our programs are built around building people up, not bringing them down.
Nice.
And I think banking in general brings people down and only wants the cream of the crop. You know, it's like when you have the turkey grease from Thanksgiving and you put that little thing so the grease, you know, doesn't come out of the beginning of it. I think that's what we do. I think we want only the clear, nothing's wrong with it kind of stuff, rather than let's get a little gritty and let's figure this out.
Exactly. That's how it works. Exactly. Don't be safe. Hey, what advice do you have for credit unions looking to venture down a similar path and achieve the same success as you guys? Because I know what you just talked about, I mean, I could just imagine credit unions are just writing it down as fast as they can, picking up the phone and going, Joe, how did you get your average new membership age to 32? My gosh, you know, I mean, I'm sure their wheels are just turning. What advice do you have for these folks out there looking to really ramp it up in 2016 and beyond?
I think if I was to take, and you know, I'm kind of a forensic industrial engineer. It's my fifth work institution in my career, but this one is one I'm just going to stay with until I retire. And I think when you really look at the problems that most institutions have, they don't know what their purpose is. What do you really exist for?
Mm-hmm.
And when the board, remember, management can do whatever they want, but if the board's not behind it, you kind of have a disconnect. When the board adopted the strategic plan that we have in place today, that we put in place 3 months after I got here, which was a big wag at that time, but they reaffirmed it over the next 5 years, and we've got it now for the next 5 years.
Great.
It was very focused on our community. It was very focused on being member advocates, but it was more importantly focused on being what a credit union cooperative is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those words are not just, you know, platitudes. They mean something very specific. And when you have that kind of laser focus and you have scarcity, and you're dealing with white space in the marketplace, because there are places that, you know, everyone when we got here said we couldn't do loans. You know, and the only way you can get a credit union out of a hole is to do lending. But let's get it real here.
Yeah.
There's no other real great income sources unless you're selling buildings.
Yeah.
That wasn't a great time to sell buildings either. So we found white space in the marketplace, and we did good loans to good people. You know what our best champions are? Those 12,000 We Can Help members. They're on the street every single day, and I actually ran into one in a hardware store, big Lowe's out here. Yeah. That, you know, I pulled out my credit card to do something, and the woman in front of me said, "Oh," and she knew who I was, and I don't know how come she didn't see me on the screen, I guess, every day. But she said, "Wow, that's my credit union, and you know, we were in deep trouble, and they helped us out. I would never go anywhere else ever." Total stranger, I pulled out a card. There was an affinity to that card because it meant something to her. Mm-hmm. And she was right. Now, I'm standing there in a line. There are 25 people all around her, and she's not talking to me quietly. She's talking to me in a very out loud voice. Her story is what we tell. We don't advertise buying stock pictures or being, buying actors. Everyone in our print, in our media, in our website are members.
Very good.
They're real members. They tell their stories.
Very good.
You do that, you're very authentic. Mm-hmm. Me telling it is kind of like, well, big deal. But when the member says something, it makes a big difference.
It's peer-to-peer.
So authenticity and how we actually affect someone's life is really kind of, to me, the biggest reward. The award was very nice, and we appreciated the recognition, more so because it brings visibility to the fact that you can be a $1.75 billion on balance sheet, a $1.6 billion off balance sheet, $3.3 billion credit union, basically, that's low mod income.
Exactly.
You know, we're growing not through mergers. We're not growing through acquisitions. We're not, those things are nice, but they're not who we are.
Exactly.
We're growing through actually being relevant.
There was one question at the beginning I wanted to ask you about, because I think there's kind of this kind of, I don't want to say a misnomer, but it's kind of an image like you don't have to be a smaller credit union to be a CDFI certified credit union. You can be a credit union of your size and still be CDFI certified and do some great work in the community. I mean, do you have any comments on that?
I was thrilled when Suncoast became a CDFI. I think, you've got now two mega credit unions in the same market doing things that are the right things to do for the memberships and for the communities. And that has a lot of impact. You take the assets, the member scope, the dollars that we can actually put into it, both from the organizational side and then what we can get from grants and whatever else, and you can magnify the effort dramatically. Mm-hmm. And so the big credit unions actually can have an enormous impact. Now, I really like what Suncoast has done by helping some of the smaller credit unions become CDF certified, so they can have impacts in their particular little community or their particular seg. Mm-hmm. And I think credit unions, if they would just look at it in the industry in general and really forget the CDFI designation, look at it through the what that really means.
Yeah.
I think as an industry, we would define ourselves in a unique way that would get rid of all of the folks that throw stones at us.
You got that right. Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of hard to throw a stone at someone that's doing good in the community.
Exactly. There's no, you're not giving them any fuel to add to their fire.
You know, us doing micro business loans doesn't threaten any of the banks or the community banks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Us doing $5 million commercial real estate loans, that's their territory. That's not my wheelhouse. Our wheelhouse is, small entrepreneurial businesses, small, members who are not particularly wealthy.
Yeah.
They have wealth of some sort, but they're not the mega wealthy. And so for us, we operate in a place where it's kind of hard to throw a stone at us. I mean, you can if you want to, but okay, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Next.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Joe, I could talk about this stuff all day long. Congratulations to your award. I mean, it's well-deserved, obviously, but like you said, the greater reward is helping your members and growing your credit and just doing great things in the community and just making it a better place. So, I mean, well done on that. So,
thank you. And I think the award really is, the team here, we don't do anything. We get rid of the I word around here. So, it's a we thing. And I think that creating an environment that allows us, the board of creating the environment that allows us to do things that others wouldn't even dare to try. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we fail. But for the most part, we've been pretty successful at doing things that others haven't done. And because, again, it isn't what we do. It's who we are that drives it. And I think that makes a difference.
That's your why. Well done. Joe, always a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to our next chat and keep up the good work there.
Thank you for everything.
You're very welcome.